today is from John 20, verses 1 through 18. Hear this word of God for you today. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been rolled away. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head, the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Then Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me. I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said all these things to her. Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, upon the meditations of my mouth and of our hearts, that we might hear from you, that we might know you are in this place. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Did you know that there's no evidence of early Christianity without the resurrection of Jesus as the central belief? All of Christianity has the resurrection as the central belief in our faith. It's not just a story. It's the story. Some people refer to the Gospels as Easter accounts with prologues because so much of it is about the end of Jesus' life, his dying on the cross and then being raised and appearing to people. You look at the Gospel of John and most of it is that time frame at the end. Why is it so important? Why do we come here all dressed up with special music and liturgy and hymns, decorations, lilies, and more? Because Easter is not an end or a finale to the Holy Week we had last week when Jesus died on the cross. Easter is the beginning. Easter is the beginning of a new life. It happened on the first day of the week for a reason. It is the first day of our new life in Christ. And it is our source of hope. When Mary sees Jesus and she thinks that he is the gardener, that's not by accident. He is meeting her in the garden outside the tomb to cultivate a new life in her and all of his followers. And when we hear her mistake him for the gardener, we remember, we think back to the Garden of Eden when God gave Adam and Eve life. The resurrection of Jesus is a new beginning to a new story, our lives as Christians. Last week we heard about the end of Jesus' life. You remember that week. It began with shouts of Hosanna, Hosanna, with him riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. But at the end, it ended with shouts of, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" On that last night with his disciples, we read in the Gospels that he had a last supper, that he bent down and washed their feet, that he gave them bread and wine and said, "This is my body, this is my blood, shed for the forgiveness of sins." And he also told them, "I have a new commandment. I tell you to love one another just as I have loved you." Today we come to the story of the empty tomb. 3 days after his death on the cross, that's when Mary comes to the tomb to pray her respects, and she comes in darkness. Darkness. That's where Easter begins, in the dark. Did you realize that? We come here all dressed up and it's beautiful and well lit and we're ready to celebrate with joyous music. But the Easter story starts in the dark. And not just any darkness, darkness in a cemetery. We all know what kind of darkness that can be, right? Even the kids know that. A few weeks ago, one of our younger kids had the most amazing answer when I said, "When have you felt happy and sad all at the same time?" And she so innocently spoke up and said, "In the graveyard." Isn't that true? When we go there, we cry tears of sorrow because they're gone, but we also cry tears of joy because we believe in the resurrection. The joy and the sorrow come together at that place. But Mary only knows sorrow when she comes to the empty tomb. She's come just to mourn his loss, and instead she is shocked to find his body is missing. Imagine that. Imagine your loved one's headstone or marker is missing. It would really compound your grief, wouldn't it? So in her sorrow, she alerts Peter and John, and they run to the tomb and look in, and we don't really understand what it is that they believed about resurrection, but we know they went home, and Jesus appeared to them later that day in a locked upper room. But early that morning in the dark, Mary is left all alone, weeping. And as she weeps, the angels in the tomb, they speak to her. They say, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She says, "They've taken away my Lord. I do not know where they have laid him." When she says this, she turns around and sees Jesus standing there, but she doesn't know that it's Jesus. So Jesus says, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" She thinks he's the gardener. So she says, "If you have taken him away, tell me, and I will take him." No matter who you are, we're all like Mary in many ways. We grieve our losses and we ask the same kinds of questions. What's going on here? What can I do? What could I have done? Why is this happening? And where is God? We come to our own graveyards, real or symbolic, and we come full of sorrow, defeated by the losses in our lives, the loss of people, the loss of dreams. And in the middle of that grief, in the middle of our losses, that's when Easter happens. That's when Easter happened. It didn't happen in a decorated, music-filled sanctuary. It wasn't announced with the angels singing and a heavenly choir. Jesus did not jump out of that grave and say, "Ta-da!" It wasn't like that. Jesus was resurrected in the dark, quietly. And then he quietly appears to Mary, asking her, "Why are you weeping?" And he very simply calls her by name, Mary. That's when she knows that it's Jesus. He knows her name. He knows her. She was so overcome with joy, she probably reached out to give him a great big hug. And he says, "You can't hold on to me. I haven't gone to my Father yet." It was in the middle of a cemetery in the early morning in the dark that Mary saw the risen Lord. It is there that he said her name and met her in the middle of her grief and sorrow, just like Jesus meets us in the pain of our lives today. Just like Jesus meets us. Easter happens in darkness, friends. It happens at work or at home when we're all alone and struggling. Easter happens in hospitals, in nursing homes, in the middle of car crashes and accidents. Easter happens in the middle of tragedy and disaster, because wherever we find any kind of death, that's where resurrection is possible. That's where resurrection is needed. Where is that place for you right now? Where do you need Jesus to meet you, to call you by name? And do you realize that he is just a prayer away? I was reading about a woman this week who suffered 2 miscarriages in 6 months, and she came to church one day angry, hurting, unable to pray anymore. But on the outside, she looked like she had it all together. She was going to work every day. She was dressed fine. She was smiling, showing up for her responsibilities. She was actually the pastor. But on the inside, she was falling apart. And on this particular Sunday, she went down to the front to pray with people at this service. And as she prayed, she heard herself finally cry. A deep, groaning cry. And in that falling apart, that's when she started to feel a little bit of new life, a little bit of hope. It was like she let out her grief and let God come in with something new. It all happened as she prayed. She says she learned that when you finally fall apart, that's where you see all the pieces of yourself, and you see how God can bring that together and make it new. There is a kind of resurrection that comes only in the middle of grief, only through the acceptance of the losses in our lives. The person who grieves before God has the opportunity to be resurrected by God and given a new life. Now, does that mean our grief always turns to joy? No. We live in a broken world. Life is a mess. People and situations are a mess this side of heaven. We won't have any final relief till we get there and we're with God. So what if grief is not the path to joy? What if grief is a place? What if grief is a place where we meet God, just like Mary met Jesus outside the tomb? What if grief is a place where Jesus calls us by name and we are offered the resurrection of our hearts and our lives as we wait for the resurrection of our bodies? When have you been happy and sad all at the same time? For me, it's not just at cemeteries, it's at Easter. Because Easter reminds me of our real hope, and it reminds me of the reasons I need that real hope. Where do you need it today, this Easter? Where are you grieving? Where are you facing any kind of loss? Where have you just given up? And have you found yourself praying and praying and praying for someone you love, or many someones you love, people who have wandered away from you, from God? Have you prayed the same prayers year after year after year? I know I sure have. And it breaks your heart every time you pray, right? Because at least for me, I'm not just asking for something trivial. I'm asking for someone's life. And it feels like my life is in the balance. If you've ever prayed like that over and over and over again because it seems like God could do something and he's not, then Easter is for you. The hope of the resurrection is for you. If you've ever grieved any loss, Easter is for you. The hope of the resurrection is for you. Rick Warren, the author of The Purpose-Driven Life, suffered a devastating loss a few years ago, the loss of his 27-year-old son, Matthew, who took his own life after battling mental illness for all those years. He says, "I've often been asked, how have you made it? How do you keep going after that?" And he says, "The answer is Easter. On Friday, it was the day of suffering and pain. On Saturday, it was a day of doubt and confusion. But on Sunday, on Easter Sunday, there was finally joy and victory. And here's the fact," he says, "you'll face those 3 days over and over and over again. And when you do, you'll find yourself asking three questions. Number one, what do I do in my days of pain? Number two, what do I do with my doubt and confusion? And three, how do I get to that joy and victory? The answer is Easter." If you've ever wondered why Easter matters, what the big deal is, why we're here with all the nice clothes and food and music, Easter matters because our lives depend upon it. Literally. It's what helps us. It's what can help us make it through a day. Make it through a loss. Make it through life when it seems to just be a big mess. On Friday, Jesus died on the cross. On Sunday, he was raised from death. And you know what that means? It means Jesus defeated sin and death forever. We can't see it all this side of heaven, but we know and we believe that all the sin and the death we see in this world is not the end. It is not the final answer. Evil does not win. Death does not win. Sin and death have been defeated on the cross and through the resurrection. We've been given a forgiveness that goes forever and ever and ever. And we've received this hope of our new life right now and forever, this hope of being with God, of seeing loved ones who've gone before us. We believe, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, that because Jesus was resurrected, we will be, not just as little souls floating around in heaven, but as people, perfect human beings, just like God intended us to be. This Lent, we studied the Apostles' Creed here at our church, and we went through every section of it, and one section says, "I believe in the resurrection of the body." That is what we believe. We believe in our future resurrection, just like Jesus. Friends, Easter is all about hope. Have you ever been somewhere and you've experienced such joy and happiness that you think, "I don't want this to ever end"? One day it won't. The joy will go on. Pastor Tim Keller says that on Easter, he always tells his friends that don't believe in the resurrection, you should. He says most of them care deeply about justice, alleviating hunger and disease, caring for the environment, yet many believe that this world was just an accident and one day it will all burn up. Why sacrifice for other people if in the end, nothing we do will make any difference? But if the resurrection of Jesus happened, that means there's hope and a reason to pour ourselves out for the world. That's hope, that we can and should work to make the world a better place, because sin and death do not win. Evil is never the end of the story. N.T. Wright wrote, "The message of the resurrection is this world matters. The injustices and the pain of this world must be addressed through the healing, justice, love, and mercy of God." That's what we believe. That through all the mess of this world, God came into it as one of us and defeated all the evil, all the sin. It began in darkness with doubt and pain and sorrow and sadness. It began with someone wondering, "Where is God?" But it ends with hope. It ends with Jesus meeting us right where we are. It ends with us saying with Mary Magdalene, "I have seen the Lord." It ends with a hope that can get us through the day and our life. Because we believe in Revelation 21, where it says, one day there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and God himself will be with us, and he will wipe every tear from our eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And Jesus will say, see, I'm making all things new. Isn't that the good news of the gospel? Easter is our hope, the hope for all of us. Amen. Please stand and let us use the Apostles' Creed to affirm our faith. It can be found on page 35 of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father.